Hi, and welcome to Vision Media here tonight with me, Paul Stevenson, live from London in England. This is Thursday. I'm still thinking of my old slot. This is Wednesday, the 11th of the 11th November 2020. And welcome here tonight. And if you want to call in, Richard, could you give out the number again? Just I haven't got it off the top of my head.
Sure. See where it is. Yeah, if anyone wants to join, 855-492-6049. That number again, 855-492-6049.
Thank you, Richard. So, everyone, welcome. And I'll be here with you through till 9 p.m. here in the UK. And that is through till 3 p.m. Central Time, 3 till 4 Eastern Standard Time. One of the most kind of bizarre developments in this whole election saga was, and I can't think of any other word for it apart from bizarre, but it's interesting what is behind this, and I suspect this particular guy is up to his neck in corruption and is probably running away from what he suspects might be utter carnage, because yesterday the Attorney General William Barr has allowed federal prosecutors to probe the alleged irregularities. Irregularities is a nice word for it, isn't it? In the presidential election, which has prompted a particular top Justice Department official to resign. But this isn't any top justice official. This is Richard Pulger. This is the guy who is, wait for it, he's the head of the Justice Department office that looks into potential election crimes. And he's resigned. I mean, I'm trying to think if there's some sort of suitable analogy here. But this is a guy whose job it is. He's the head of the Justice Department's office that looks into the potential election crimes. And he's actually resigned in protest. I'm just going to see if I can find his quote. Because this is really, as I say, bizarre is one word, but this is just not acceptable. I mean, this guy's paid to do this job. So there's election fraud. This is his position. Let me reiterate again, just in case you think you misheard me. His name's Richard Pulger, and his job, he's the head of the Justice Department office that looks into potential election crimes. And he's resigned in protest. And his quote says, if I can just find it, this is just staggering. He said, having familiarized myself with the new policy and its ramifications, and in accord with the best tradition of the John C. Keeney Award for exceptional integrity and professionalism, I mean, these people seem impervious to irony. My most cherished departmental recognition, I must regretfully resign from my role as director of the Election Crimes Branch. The Election Crimes Branch. He's the head of it. Pulger said Barr's memo amounted to, quote, an important new policy abrogating the 40-year-old non-interference policy for ballot fraud in the period prior to elections becoming certified and uncontested. Now, surely it would fall under the remit of the head of the Justice Department for looking into potential election crimes that ballot fraud investigations might be part of that. But the point is, this is this guy's job. I mean, what you're resigning because there's potential election fraud, which is what you're paid to do to look into and in protest. I heard another quote from him. I wish I could find it. He sounded like it was like, you know, any number of these Democrat or Republican or media mouthpiece talking heads talking about how shameful it is that we should suggest that there's that there's voter fraud. And I mean, the amount of newspapers that I've looked at and articles I've looked at from mainstream media, including over here, most of them, 95% of them over here, have, it's so irritating after a while. You know, they have Trump's campaign or the Trump administration is continuing to look into alleged, and then you get it, in quotes, vote fraud. You see, the quotes are pejorative quotes. It's like, wink, wink, we know what this really is. This is the fascist here, you know, not prepared to let go. This is the sore loser. So it's vote fraud in quotes. Again, I think you see when you have AOC coming out and talking about compiling lists of Trump supporters that allowed this fascist into the White House and allowed the last 4 years to happen. We need a list for this. I mean, again, just totally impervious to irony, totally incapable or unwilling for any self-awareness of their own hypocrisy. Or maybe it's just ignorance. Maybe I think some of these people are. In her case, Cortez, I think she's probably just absolutely thick as two short planks. So, but anyway, as I say, this guy, Pilger, you see, Pilger is probably, you know, a fox looking after the hen house character. I haven't looked into him that much, but I'm sure if he did, that's what you would find. This guy's up to his neck in corruption, and he's running away from this as far as he can, distance himself as far as he can get. Because for a guy whose job it is to look after, you know, to look into potential election crimes and then to be just outraged at the suggestion of ballot fraud, and I must resign in protest over this. How can this guy, how can anyone allow him to make a statement like that? How can he allow himself to make a statement like that without any scrutiny? I mean, can anybody think of an analogy? Because I've had a long day. I'm tired. But I mean, that's I don't know. That's like if your job, you know, I'm head of the joinery department or the carpentry department. And someone comes to you to say, listen, I need you to build me a table. How dare you? You want me to build you a table? I will not build you a table. I resign in protest. So am I missing something here? WTF moment here. Sorry, I must have confused you. You must be head of the electrical department, not the carpentry department. No, I'm the head of the carpentry department. Oh, good, we've had a misunderstanding. I need you to build me a table. I resign. I mean, that's what it's like. You see, this guy's remit is really, I would imagine, he is head of the Justice Department office that looks into potential Republican voter fraud, or perhaps only a Republican who's not fully playing ball and he's not fully bought and paid for by the establishment. Maybe that's the kind of role he's in there for. Maybe that's what that role actually is. Otherwise, what he said is, I'm not paid to look into actual voter fraud by those who are paying me to be a gatekeeper, is what he said. Anyway, that's that. But I just thought, you know, it really is Alice in Wonderland stuff. By the way, sadly, Mark Collett, who we had on the show on Mondays, had his Twitter account deleted since then. He had his Twitter account deleted on the very next day, actually. So that's a shame for him. But, you know, It really does highlight, I think, the importance of alternative media. I mean, I think we're going to be the last one standing, because they don't own networks like this. They don't own RBN, Republic of Broadcasting Network. They don't own Jeff Rentz. I mean, they'll come for us. Make no bones about it. They will come for us with everything they have. But it does highlight, I think, the importance. And I guess in some level, it's why I didn't really invest. Not the only reason, but why I didn't invest heavily my time in things like YouTube and Twitter and even Facebook. Because I'd already started to get censorship on Facebook and Twitter 2 years ago, maybe even before that. And maybe it's because, you know, back even in 2016, as early as that, I mean, I say early, but, you know, in context to when all this censorship started in earnest, you know, when the sort of alt-right movement sprung up in earnest. And, you know, back in 2016, I've been interviewing people like E. Michael Jones and Kevin MacDonald and Andrew Joyce from the Occidental Observer as well, and Jeff Gates, who wrote the book "Death by Guilt by Association: How the Israeli Lobby Took Control of U.S. Foreign Policy." And you know, I'd been associated with those guys, and I'd put up interviews with them. A lot of them did very well in terms of views and been, you know, circulating around social media, Facebook and Twitter and things like that. But I noticed it didn't take that long before views started to drop fairly significantly. And then it was just, I think it was right at the end of 2000, and it was about mid 2018, or actually even before that, around early 2018, I was just getting a lot of sort of messages from YouTube about, you know, hate speech and things like that. And then it was just videos just outright deleted for hate speech and the usual apologies, community guidelines. And it got to the point where it just felt pointless putting videos up on YouTube, because they were just going to be deleted. And then I'm pretty sure, from what I know about shadow banning, my channel was shadow banned, because you go from, like, you know, thousands of views when you're doing interviews, and then just even my own content, you know, you're going from, like, you know, sometimes maybe a couple of thousand views and stuff like that, and then that's dwindling down, and then it's like, you know, 1200, and then it's like 800, and then it's 400, and then it's just like the last few videos is just, you know, 300 or views or something, and then 200, and they stopped me from being able to even, you know, they switched off. I couldn't do anything about it. I tried to switch it back on. I couldn't. The notification button, where I could even let my own subscribers know that I had done a video. So I couldn't even let my own subscribers know. Now, I didn't have a big channel. There was maybe 1,300 or 1,400 subscribers up there. I think it's down a little bit, but I haven't done any videos for a while. But I didn't invest in it properly, because I knew early on where it was going. And I thought alt radio is probably going to be the way forward. It's going to be the last platform which is not going to be censored in terms of, like, spoken content, which is, you know, going to be free to say what we want without mentioning the word Jew or Muslim or Islamic, you know, terrorism, or anything that might trigger their algorithms, you know. So it's a shame for Mark, because he's a good guy, and we had him on the show, and he's a guy with plenty of principle and character, and, you know, his video was quite interesting on YouTube last night. He did actually mention RBN on that. He mentioned he'd been on there and for his followers to, you know, to check out his content and his presence on Republic Broadcast Network. I just fear that they will clamp down on that eventually too. But for the moment, they're not. So,
Paul?
As I say, yeah.
You know, I was listening to Dr. Slattery's broadcast of National Bugle Radio just after that, right, on Monday. I believe it may have been a pre-record from that morning or night before, but Mark was a guest on there as well. It so happened the same day. He had two slots in a row on RBN. I hope that didn't draw attention to somehow affect his Twitter getting it. He was
I thought that myself. But then, right.
I know he was suspended on Twitter in the past, though, previously, right?
Yeah, it's probably nothing to do with it. Although I did think to myself, you know, he's on RBN on Monday night. He's talking, you know, we weren't holding back in Monday night, were we? And then he's on with Patrick as well. As you said, that was recorded. And then the very next day, you find his Twitter account deleted. I think it's unlikely. It's because, you know, he's appeared on RBN. He's been on there before. I think it's just because of the content, because of what he represents. They hate anyone who wants to defend the white race and to push back on this hatred by Jewry on the white race. And they hate anyone who speaks out about immigration and the corruption in our own governments pertaining to those two things particularly, and anything to do with promoting free speech, anything to do with anything good. is going to feel the wrath of these people because they're satanic, and they are ruthless, and they are a scourge. So I don't think so. But you know, what are you supposed to do? You know, we mix with these people. You know, I think, and it's particularly, I think, you know, you probably would have found the same, Richard, if you'd have been. You know, I don't think you really focused too much on YouTube either, but. If you're interviewing the kind of people we're interviewing, it's not just one guy. You know, you're talking to Kevin McDonald. You're talking to E. Michael Jones. You're talking to Andrew Joyce. You're talking to Mark Collett. You know, you're talking to Joel Gilbert. You know, you're talking to a wide spectrum of people, you know, who would probably never really interact that much themselves, but when you're on, you know, alt radio platforms, you're mixing with a lot of people. You're like a kind of a hub, you know. So your YouTube channel isn't just doing a video about immigration. You know, as I say, it's interviewing a lot of people who themselves individually have got a lot of heat, you know. So, I mean, I think I said, "You still there, Richard?"
Yeah, I didn't have my my headphones ready to go, but yeah.
So, you know, as I say, when you're associated with all these with different characters, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think I said to you when you interviewed me back in 2017, I felt kind of nervous. I am feeling edgy at the minute, I'll be honest with you. You know. You know what I mean? You do an interview with Mark Collett on a Monday night, and then he gets his Twitter account deleted on a Tuesday. It's hard not to feel a bit edgy, you know?
Right. Yeah, you don't know how much the UK government is keeping tabs on what you do on American radio these days. I mean, all you gentlemen in Europe I have on the air with me these days, I can't help but think about that. I mean, I'll touch on all these topics that, of course, you gentlemen don't want to censor yourself on either, but... Yeah,
I mean, I've been very absent on Facebook, and I never really got into Twitter, but I used to post on Facebook all the time. I've got a couple of thousand friends on there. I kind of dropped out of Facebook about maybe a year, maybe 14, 15 months ago, because I was starting to have problems on Facebook. So it was my YouTube and my Facebook at the same time, and I thought, you know what, I can see where this is headed. But one thing that's been worrying me a little bit, and you know, this is the type of thing someone would have said to me 18 months ago, and I would have thought, yeah, just, you know, you're being a bit over the top now with this type of stuff, because I thought, I'm sure that I know they can do this sort of stuff, but I don't think they are, and that I'm talking about trying to meddle and affecting your computer. And I've noticed I have a very normally very stable internet connection. And I noticed when we were doing the show the other night, it dropped out two or three times for no apparent reason. There's been other problems I've noticed with my PC. I took it to a guy to get it fixed. He said, it's absolutely fine. He said, there's nothing wrong with it. And I said, why is this happening? He says, he didn't know, you know, why is internet suddenly dropping out? Why has it been really slow, you know, at times? And I am at the stage now where I think when I'm not posting on social media, but they're monitoring me somehow, you know, or they're trying to interfere somehow. You know,
that's why I just wonder, absolutely, as far as people like Mark and yourself on American radio, if that's being monitored, if back home there, they, you know, have your internet service providers give you a little trouble now and then, at the very least, I wouldn't put it past them. That's for sure, because I'm sure they don't like the idea, you know, that you're circumventing their censorship by broadcasting overseas.
They won't like that, and they won't like any of that. They won't like any of that, and they certainly don't like, you know, what we're talking about. A and B, they don't like this kind of solidarity. Oh, we've got these guys over here, and they're thinking this, and then we've got these guys in America, and these guys are networking and stuff. You know, this is a kind of an international kind of threat, as they see it. You know, that they're this kind of, like, you know, communication and affiliation and kind of brotherhood going on when they hear the American guys talking and the English guys talking. And we got a guy in north of England, we got a guy in London, we get, you know, these guys are sort of all on the same page, and they're so paranoid.
They'll label it international white supremacist terrorism.
Yeah, and exactly, and the crowd that we're talking about, you know, that are pushing the that are the engine of all this, they are so paranoid themselves. You know, they are obsessively paranoid that they want to stamp on anything that they could see as a threat, any little brush fire, any little thing. You know, they never want to leave any stone left unturned, and we know how powerful they are. They've been censoring Trump. This is, you know, big tech have been censoring the president. You know, there was an almost blackout here on getting information from, you know, Tucker Carlson. Now, I was typing in Tucker Carlson on YouTube. There was nothing. There was videos from him like 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago. And I'm like, I want to hear what this guy's saying, particularly in light of the controversy around Fox's controversial and, you know, spineless coverage of the election, and the fact that they've simply done a U-turn. And I wanted to hear where he fitted it. I could barely get him. I saw a couple of clips from him yesterday, in fairness, so I could finally hear what he had to say. But apart from that, they must be censoring that as well. I couldn't find anything from Steve Bannon apart from one little video. So it's been very difficult. So they are controlling that. So, there's, you know, they are able to do that. So if they're able to do that, they're able to pick up RBN, Paul Edward Stevenson, Richard Carey, who are we? And if we're not posting on social media, they can go in there. They've got this is like technology beyond what we can imagine. They could probably just switch my computer off right now if they wanted, you know.
Yeah, they won't resort to that. In most cases, I think it'll just be, well, I don't know. I do notice a lot of times on RBN, especially on the most listened to show, midday drive time hours, Michael Rivero's What Really Happened. A lot of times when he'll, in the past, be talking about very key topics, I noticed that I would have to refresh. Also on other stations, like, I know, well, I mean, Stadmiller's show, the owner on RBN2, but on other stations like Rents, and I think even times listening to Renegade, it's interesting, you'll hear certain, you know, key topics brought up, and then a lot of times you'll have to refresh, especially on the smartphone, you'll have to refresh your browser where it'll cut off. Yeah. And that'll be a common thing, but it's often when some sensitive material is being discussed. I swear I've noticed that over the years
when I listen on the... Yeah, and, you know, I don't think we're being paranoid when you look at they're actually censoring Donald Trump, and I'm struggling to see, you know, clips of Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, you know, Mark had his Twitter account deleted. I don't think we are being paranoid, you know. I mean, I there's nothing more I can do with my computer in terms of it working. I've got all sorts of stuff in here for checking stuff, tracking activity, threats, you know. Do you know what I mean? There's different software you can get to. I've got this, maybe I'm being paranoid. I sometimes think even some of these software programs that are designed to protect you actually might be that might be their way in. Who knows? I honestly, you know, it's hard to even trust some of these VPNs. I don't know who to trust. Maybe ExpressVPN apparently are pretty good because they don't store a lot of the VPNs. The actual VPN companies themselves on their computer, on their supercomputers, they do store your information, which the whole point of a VPN is so that you're tracking and the sites that you're you know on and you're browsing through aren't recorded, and also your location is not recorded. But I think there's a company called ExpressVPN is the only one, and they are insured by PricewaterhouseCoopers, who have checked out their supercomputer hard drive system, and they don't. That's one of their selling points, that they don't store anything. So it might be worth getting the VPN from them, to be honest, because you see, I can, if the VPN's working properly, I can do this show from here and it doesn't show up that I'm from here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that helps for the future. I would recommend
But then what are you supposed to do? I mean, you know, you open up your show and you're telling people where you're from, and you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to be sitting there. After a while, you'll be so paranoid you won't do anything. So I mean, it is what it is. You see, you know, this mm-hmm. is what we're dealing with. You know, so it's, if they're going to come, they're going to come. But I just know how aggressive these people are, and I know how wicked and sinister they are, and it's a bit like Mark said last night on his YouTube video. I think all of us who are engaged in this, we would like to sort of, I remember saying the same thing to Kevin MacDonald from the Occidental Observer. You know, wasn't that long ago we were just getting on with our lives and, you know, doing things that we like to do and sort of try and have our ambitions and our hopes and hopes of a kind of normal life. When you're in this sort of environment, you know, even to the level that we're at, you can't really assume that anymore. You know, you can't really assume that kind of, you know, what's going to happen, because you're like, what, what's going to happen? Where am I going to be in a year's time? I could be in a freaking prison cell with a bunch of Muslims in a year's time is the reality. You know, I know how horrible these people, I know how corrupt and politically correct and culturally Marxist our judicial system is. They will have no mercy on someone like me, a white Christian, you know?
Looks like you have a caller on the line here, Paul.
Steven, is it Steven's on?
Yes, hi, Paul. Hi, Richard. You know, I don't think you guys have been paranoid at all. I turned on the stream as I left the pool just about drove home. It cut out three times on my way over here. I had to refresh the browser. Now, granted, when I pulled into my carport and it picked up the Wi-Fi, I can understand maybe that would have cut it off. But on the way over here, you know, it should have kept playing. A lot of times the stream cuts out on me when I'm listening to revision, especially. Yeah, so I think they don't want us talking. I agree. You're right. And they don't want us talking where other people can hear us either. That's the they don't want this, like you said, they see it as a threat, man. I guess it is a threat to them. This is a threat, you know, for people to have solidarity together and express sovereignty of their own life. That they just hate that.
A very interesting thing over here I noticed, and it took me a little while to twig, but these lockdowns are designed, I think, to scatter people, right? So the public discourse, and one of the sectors that they were particularly seemed to be particularly unfair on was the pub over here. Probably less so in America, but you know, but over here, the pub is somewhere where, you know, it's short for the public house. The pub is somewhere where people get together and they share ideas and they can talk freely, especially after a couple of drinks. You see the barriers coming down. People start to say what they're thinking that they wouldn't really say because they're a bit scared of what might come back. But if you go into a pub over here, you can go into a pub and after a couple of pints, you could be talking to a guy who you would never think knows anything about the type of stuff we're talking about. And right. he, after a couple of drinks, and his inhibitions are down a little bit, he might turn around and say, yeah, I listen to Jeff Rentz, or I know Mark Collett, I listen to him, I've actually checked out your show, you know, but I'm too scared to say it. Or it might not even be as specific, it'd just be like, yeah, we know that the Jews run the world, you know, and you know, and they don't want that pub environment where ideas, and it's a place where I think where people sort of gather a kind of a solidarity, a kind of a community spiritual kind of strength to sort of reinforce their identity and to realize that they're under attack. I find it really interesting that the pub was really under attack, and also they're doing the same now, obviously, on social media, because Mark said, you know, that the social media is the public space where people share ideas. So they've taken it physically away with the lockdowns over here, and then they're doing it on social media as well. So they just really want to atomize everybody, scatter everybody, and break the connections, and break the, you know, including breaking up the streams when we're talking. Just break it up.
I agree.
Yeah.
And Facebook hates me. They put me on first just yesterday. They said, you're banned for 24 hours because I had posted an ad for this big gathering that's going to be in Washington, D.C., the steel caravans are coming across the country, and I put an ad up for it, and they said that violated their terms on dangerous groups and individuals. So they see them as a dangerous group of individuals. And then today, I went back on. I was supposed to be 24 hours. Now I got a 30-day ban on Facebook for posting a statement somebody made. Greg Reese had made about it was about the Civil War coming and how the, you know, but yeah, it was pretty direct. But you know, they're going to ban me for 30 days. You know, I've been banned repeatedly on Facebook. It's hard. I've got 4 different accounts, man. I try to stay on there in touch with people one way or the other, but it is exhausting to try to do that. And then they limit the number of friends you got. So it's a lot to ask somebody, hey, give me 3-4 slots on your friends list so we can stay in touch when they're limited already. That's not fair, you know?
I think also they really particularly don't like it when they cut one tie and then we pop up somewhere else. So they ban Mark Collett's Twitter account. And then the next thing he's popping up on someone else's Twitter account who follows him, or the next thing he's on RBN being interviewed by us guys, or it's E. Michael Jones who had his YouTube channel deleted, and the next thing he's been interviewed by loads of other people who are his followers, and they're interviewing him. It's just like they must be thinking, how can I get rid of this guy? You know, it's like,
well, yeah, they tried to take his bank accounts, didn't they, and banned him off PayPal. I think that's what's coming, that they're going to try to do that to all of their enemies, that they want to completely, cut us out. It's like that, literally the mark of the beast system, where if you ain't one of them, you can't buy, sell, trade, or travel, or anything.
And another thing is because I'm from Northern Ireland, I've got dual citizenship, and for the first time in a long time, because I never used to see the point, I'm thinking of getting myself an Irish passport, because I listened to a guy called Doug Casey, and he's a financial guy, but he's also a very canny operator. He's very aware of wider culture issues and about sort of diversifying your own sort of international footprint. And he suggested, if you can get a second passport, whether it's through an uncle somewhere or an aunt somewhere or a sister somewhere, if you can get several bank accounts, if you can have money or silver in different locations, you can have different people storing silver for you. If you can afford to buy it, let them keep it in a vault somewhere, you know.
But You cut out, Paul. Are you still there? Well, speaking of which, it sounds like you just dropped off, or I did one. That's wow. Are you still there, Richard? It sounds like they completely cut me off. Amazing. Wow.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you, Steven.
Okay. Yeah. You're way back in the back. I don't know what happened. But yeah,
I don't know. I think
about being...
I still
we're talking
see Paul
cutting us off, and then boom, right there they do it.
Yeah, I see his profile still on here too.
Oh man, that's like yep.
Just not
now,
hearing.
The next thing that's going to happen is they're going to cut in on our stream and say this is a violation. You are in violation of our terms of service. You know, just expect Big Brother's booming voice to come over there next.
Well, here if you want to,
that's scary.
If you want to continue. Discussing until he gets back on. Hopefully he'll realize and try to reconnect here.
Okay, and you say you still see him?
Yeah, I still see a profile for him on here, but he might...
Wow, no.
Yeah, he may have to reconnect. It might show
I mean,
double.
That is just spooky and eerie. They just... they just cut him out when we...
That's weird.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah. It's
yeah,
like
you should play this clip on RBN tomorrow. yeah, you should play this clip on our Friday, maybe either Friday, and tell people, look, we're expect the worst. You know that
well,
they're
here,
coming for us
until he can get back here. We have like 20 minutes left. Your fill-in host for Revelation, Stephen Douglas Whitener.
Oh, hi everyone. I hope Paul will come back soon and join us. I don't know. We were just talking about how the big tech and our New World Order enemies are, you know, isolating us, trying to keep us from communicating, that they don't like the fact that people in the UK and the States are, you know, communicating and have some solidarity and, you know, that we are, you know, they just don't like that. We're like a threat to them. And, you know, Richard said that they would see this as a white supremacist international terrorist threat just because we're on the radio. Are talking to each other. They literally see us as that much of a threat. And while we were discussing that, then all of a sudden, Paul gets cut off. I was in the middle of a conversation with him, and then they just, I don't know, somehow, some reason, his audio was cut out. And so, you know, I hope he can get back on. If you can hear me, Paul, if you've got it coming through, let us know what happened. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, this thing, it's really getting spooky and scary. You know, they're making lists of people. AOC, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez ding-dong, the donkey in the Congress, she said that they should make a list of everyone who supported Trump so that they can be held accountable in the near future. There was a guy on CNN, I think it was Jake Tapper, that was saying you should be careful if you want to be employed in the future if you're not accepting the Biden win. It's getting a lot more serious. They saw, like I said, they saw the people who were going to the Capitol on Friday to participate in this Stop the Steal rally. It's people coming from all over the country, and they're dangerous individuals and groups. I got a ban on Facebook for 24 hours, it said. Posting an ad to that event, and then a 30-day ban after that, just today, for some other post that I had echoed from somebody. So I don't know. I've been hearing a lot of people or reading a lot of people on Facebook saying that they're going to go to Parler now, or it's actually Parlay, I think is the way you're supposed to pronounce it, P-A-R-L-E-R, Parlay, that, instead of Facebook. And that I have joined that, you know, that page, that company, but it's more like Twitter than Facebook. I think it's supposed to be a Twitter alternative, and I don't know. Supposedly they don't do the same censoring, but it's also got some fishy looking origins in it. The symbol for Parlay, the P, is almost a copy of the shekel symbol, which is kind of strange. Some people pointed out that it was just a honey trap to get all the patriots over there. But that sound, was that Paul? Are you back on, Paul? Oh, I thought I heard someone come in. Yeah, well, yeah, and I don't know. I've not gotten used to any other platforms other than Facebook. I've just been on Facebook so much. You know, it's just the one that I know how to use the most, and it's the it's pretty easy to use for me now. I do have a Twitter, and I do go on there occasionally, but not as much as Facebook. And the best way to get hold of me is really to send a message to my Facebook Messenger or to my phone by text or my email. I do have one email that I check every day, and it's listed on the Revision Media homepage too. In case anybody ever wanted to get a message to me, that would be the quickest way probably. And I don't know. I just I'm amazed that I'm living through all this event here with the contested election. It's just like the United States has been set up for a color revolution, the same kind of thing that these non-governmental organizations, these NGOs that Soros and the UN run around the world, they've instigated color revolutions in various countries all around the world. And it's like they finally brought it home here to America now. And it's a very scary thing. And I believe that it's a very serious time that they're going to do everything they can to kick it off here the same way they did in the Ukraine, in Georgia, oh gosh, other countries too. I mean, Egypt, you know, first with Tunisia and Egypt and the Arab Spring thing, Serbia. It was really Serbia that was the first one. There's this group in Serbia of young internet savvy people. I think they were called Op4, I believe was the name of their organization. And they used a lot of different techniques with social media and using the internet in order to bring down Milosevic back in about the year 2000, right after, the Kosovo War. It might have been even as early as 99, but right around there. And all the techniques that they developed, now they have formed a corporation and a company, and they all go all over the world and teach people the same techniques. The CIA, and I think the CIA probably was involved in, you know, helping that group get started. I don't know if it was organic over there with these kids or whether, you know, chicken or the egg kind of thing. But since then, it has gone all around the world, and they've been present in almost all of the countries around the world that have had these color revolutions. They did that twice in the Ukraine. The second time when they did it to Ukraine, they split the country up and sent it down to the path towards civil war, which is where it still is today. It's a divided country, and the people in the Donbass are regularly attacked. There's a front line there between Donbass and the other area below it, and there's war constantly fighting. I do believe that's what they want to do to this country. I think they want to cut off California and the West Coast the same way they did the Donbass. And I did hear someone else come in. Are you back, Paul?
Yeah, I had the same problem.
Oh, man, there you are. Great.
Yeah, and I had the same problem. It dropped me out, and then it just kept, it wouldn't let me back in. And the reason it concerns me is because I'm looking at my router, and my router.
Again. Oh, man. You're under attack, Paul. That's just ridiculous. Man. I don't know. Well, there you go, folks. We had him back, and then boom, Big Brother didn't like him talking to us. I don't know, man. I've seen this happen with other people over the years, and a lot of times I would think, they're just doing that. Well, you know, I'm gonna tell you, this is none of our doing. This is some kind of attack from, you know, the ISP or whatever. The censorship is ramping up, very much so. The attacks, the cyber war, the information war, it's on right now. I mean, it's basically gone hot, I think. And it does not bode well for the future. I mean, if they're starting with this, they're waging war on us metaphysically. How long before they start waging war on us physically? It can't be too much of a leap. That's just a scary time to be alive. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I just... Okay, yeah, I was talking about the way that they split the Ukraine into two countries and caused a war between them. I think they really, really want to do the same here, although there's not as easy an area to isolate, like there was with the Donbass and the I forgot the name of the area that's to the south of it. But yeah, that's I guess California is, and the West Coast are considered the left coast, and they're more lefty. But it's not so much a different ethnicity or a different religion the way it was in the Ukraine. They can't divide us up as easily into two physical entities like that. It'll go along ideological lines all throughout society. Just as what's happening with making the list of the Trump supporters. And, you know, I mean, we got to start thinking ahead, people. They're making lists of us now. And it was just like Paul was, I think maybe it was, maybe that's what got Paul cut off when his friend, he was talking about, I don't know if his friend was someone he knows there that's very savvy, said you should get passports, more than one passport, that you should have more than one bank account, that you should stash silver or gold in other places if you can, you know, that you should be decentralized so that you're not as easy to cut off and pick up. And, you know, I think it was right after he said that, that he disappeared from the stream. I don't guess they want you guys to think like that. Yeah, they don't want you to be prepared. They don't want you being ready. There we go. Are you back again, Paul?
Yeah, I think someone's taking the piss. Let me just say this quickly, because I've got a backup network in this place as well. I tried it on that network. They keep switching off my Wi-Fi, but they're not switching off the Wi-Fi generally because the router is not registering anything which would suggest that the Wi-Fi is a problem. So they're able to disconnect my what looks like my Wi-Fi on the desktop when I'm trying to connect to this call. And I also have my television, which is set up through a system here which is uses Wi-Fi, and it's playing fine. So it's kind of dropping the call. It's cutting off the Wi-Fi connection on my desktop. There's no evidence of it on my router, which I can see real time. And there's no, I can play you know, anything now on my TV through Wi-Fi, and it's just 100%. There's no pauses, no nothing, at the same time as the computer was disconnected, by the way. So I tried it whilst it was disconnected and saying there's no Wi-Fi on my desktop. And I'm able to, like, operate my phone and my TV through Wi-Fi. The router isn't even working. So it's like, what are they? How are they able to do that? Or just, like, you know, just disconnect? I don't know. And I thought, well, is it – I mean, and then I thought, well, maybe they're, like, doing something with the network.
Right.
But you guys are still talking okay? They're not cutting out or anything, no?
You just cut off. I couldn't hear you. And then I guess that Richard wasn't directly where he could answer me back at first, but I could hear him off in the distance where he was playing the stream, and then he got back on and had me take over until you could come back. And it was right, you know, it happened right after you said that people should get more than one passport and people should prepare for these eventualities and have more than one bank account and stash silver and stuff. And it's right after you said that, boom, you were gone. Very spooky. And you know, if you have a way to download the data logs, you know, from your system. If there's a way to go back and forensically look, you might be able to find out what was happening. I'm sure that there's some people that would have the capability to look at those logs and figure out what happened. That's, you know, above my pay grade, but I'm sure that it could be done.
It would be very interesting. I have it here.
It's called
tracking activity. And then it's a tracking attempt block. It's like a security. And it brings up. So I know a guy who might be able to make some sense of this to me and say,
yeah, it would be very interesting to find out what happened, because this was not random. This was not some random, you know, bug or glitch. This was, it was just as focused and purposeful as the vote flipping was over here in the software they were using to count the votes previously.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. I'm not the type of person, as probably Richard will tell you, I'm not the type of person to, like, get hysterical over nothing, even though I know that these forces are around us. You know, some people are sort of very quick to say, oh, this is happening, you know, and it gets a bit sensational. But over the last 2 or 3 weeks, there's been stuff happening I can't make sense out of, and that's one of them. I don't understand not just the timing of when they cut me off, like you said, but that they're doing it generally. They did it on Monday. I was cut off. And also that my router, if my Wi-Fi normally cuts out, one of the little lights will change color,
right?
And to let me know that it's not picking up the Wi-Fi or something. But that's not happening. And my other Wi-Fi, the other stuff that I'm using, my TV, my phone, that's all working on Wi-Fi normally.
they must be piggybacking something off on the signal there that was that doesn't show up as, like you said. You said tracking attempt was being blocked. So,
well,
suspicious.
I have a thing here called anti-track and it says it sort of brings in sort of like it's designed to block not hackers necessarily, but that's part of it too. But mm-hmm. It's designed to sort of like block sort of. I wish I had the computer literacy to be able to explain this, but
I'm there with you there. Yeah, I'm a dinosaur when it comes to technology. I programmed computers with punch cards.
But it's a privacy protection thing on your computer. Mm-hmm. It's kind of in line with a VPN and that type of thing.
Right, right.
And it brings up, it's like a tracking history, fingerprint changes, your danger, whatever.
Do you use a VPN?
I did have a VPN up until about a month ago. So it's one of the priorities again. I need to get another VPN, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
I've never used one, but it sounds like a good idea. I have considered it, but I've never used one. It would allow you to watch some things on your Netflix or whatever on your, but that fool people as to where you are. Basically, it just kind of spoofs your location, if I understand it correctly.
It does, yeah. So I could be doing my show from here, but it might register that I'm doing it from, I don't know, anywhere really. You can just pick somewhere. You can pick, you know, Kentucky in America. You can pick Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean that would probably help, and they can't track what sites you're looking at and stuff. I'm gonna probably get a VPN tomorrow. But some of these VPNs and stuff as well, I even have my suspicions about some of them. It's hard to know who to even trust. You're like, sometimes I think, so when I installed this privacy thing, I sometimes think maybe even problems started there. So you're thinking,
it could be, but just as you were saying earlier, a lot of times the antivirus, you know, kind of gives you the virus. It's like it's a vicious circle, you know. It's like we're going to put this bug on your computer, so you have to buy this stuff to get it off. But yeah, they've been doing that since the internet started, basically. And it's like, it's what's the horrible part about it is, Bill Gates wants to do that to us with the vaccines now, and the virus.
That same concept.
Taken that same concept, put it in the physical, biological world. That's the spookiest part of all.
Yeah, wow, they do the opposite of what they purport to do.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything is opposite day. Up is down in so many ways in this world today. You know, whatever you hear, think the opposite, and you usually are going to get the right information. That's you know, like national defense. No, it's war making. It's not defense. This is the Department of War. You know.
Yeah, the Affordable Care Act wasn't very affordable.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
It's just like everything's just in name only. I actually did a list of things on Facebook one time. It was about I just went through off the top, you know, through my the top of my head about, you know, just the type of thing we're talking about. It was like 20 things of in name only, you know.
Right.
You know, the Affordable Care Act, the defense budget, you know, it's just a wrecking ball. The wrecking ball budget.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Anything that they say is a war on something, that's really just a war on us using whatever it is. The war on drugs, the war on us using drugs. The war on terror, it's a war on us using terror.
The war on poverty.
Yeah.
The war on poverty creates poverty. The war on drugs creates drugs problems.
Uh-huh. We got the arsonist in the fire department. That's the world today. It's the fire department full of arsonists. They don't like us knowing that. They don't want us to reveal that to other people who haven't really thought about it that way yet. I mean, a lot of people out there, like you were saying, if you're in the pub and after a couple of drinks start to open up about how they feel, a lot of people out there who know something's up, they know everything's not really the way that they've been told. They feel that unease about it, but they haven't really thought about it clearly enough or don't have enough of the information to put the scenario together exactly the way it is.
It's too daunting for them. I do understand to some extent, even though we can get frustrated, I think some people, it's just too daunting for them to sort of think that the world as I know it is not only not the world that I know it, but it's a much darker place, you know?
Exactly. I agree. I had a very vivid argument with a guy who's a friend of mine earlier this week about the climate change and everything. And he wants us to go back to the Paris Accords and stuff. And I go, man, that does, you know, I just try to explain him. It's a lie. This whole thing is a lie. Not only, is CO2 not a pollutant, but this stuff that they're doing to fix the problem it's not going to do anything to fix that problem. It's just going to enslave us and put the boot on the Western world while China and India can get away with anything.
Stephen, you are resisting the Great Reset.
I am, yes. That's a law. there.
We want to get Klaus on air. Klaus, you're a legend, mate. Can you do the voice thing again? Do the voice. Go on, Klaus. Do the voice for our listeners, you know. Yes, we are going to bring in the Great Reset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Man, that guy, he is a Bond villain, you know. Literally. I'm living in a world where they're real Bond villains. Where's James Bond when you need him, you know?
Well, exactly. Well, maybe there is a real James Bond out there where he's going to turn up soon, you know?
Could be. I don't know. That'd be
Donald
nice.
Trump. Donald Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump, yeah.
Second
term. I've said a few times that I think that what we're in right now is very similar to the Soviet Union in 1991 in August when they pulled the coup on Gorbachev. And Gorbachev, they had him down in Crimea, and the military came in. They put censorship on all the media, and they locked everything down. They're doing the same thing to us, and it's almost as if Donald Trump is our Gorbachev. Well, you know, we need a Boris Yeltsin here. Some Boris Yeltsin needs to jump up on that tank and rally the troops, because it can go either way at this point. We can come out of this tyranny that we've been under, this globalist system that has had its boot on our neck, not only on the United States, but on the Western world in general. It's been doing that for a good while.
I think what they're doing with the coronavirus and what they're doing with the election is a huge overplay. They're taking a huge risk with this, and I think it's their hubris is their greatest vulnerability. And it's a bit like a boxer. If a boxer goes into a ring and he commits to the knockout punch, he's putting everything he has into that, and he's throwing everything at it, and he's committed to that, and in his hubris he thinks, you know, he's just a knockout artist and there's no way he can get hurt. But if the guy's fighting sees the punch coming, the guy can not only counter him, but he can counter him with his own weight. So it's a bit like a car crash, where it's just like you got the two. If you saw the knockout punch with Juan Marquez against Pacquiao, Pacquiao went in with everything he had to knock him out, and he was winning that fight the whole way up. And Marquez saw that punch with it, and he countered him, and he almost killed him. You know, Pacquiao hit the ground, and Pacquiao was out for about 3 minutes cold. And I think that could happen, because I think Trump has seen the punch coming, and he's been ready for the counter. And you're seeing this stuff. The media have been pushing this as if it's the case. But this is going to backfire, because not only might they lose the election, but this could blow the lid on just what we're dealing with here. You know,
I hope you're right, man. And then I really hope you're right.
Yeah, I hope I'm right, too, because they're going to have Donald Trump in the White House after this. Because, and then it's going to be, Trump should, if he gets in the White House after this and they've been exposed for who they are, he should round on them with everything he has in the last 4 years and put an end to this, you know?
I agree, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if that's the case, if that's what will happen, but I really hope so. I've been very disappointed in what he's done so far, because he ran on lock her up and then here she's still out there. And a lot of the things that he said he was going to do, he hasn't done. I'm pleased with some things, but I don't know. Since the election, he's made a few moves that seem hopeful in that direction. He's replaced a lot of people in the Department of Defense, in the Pentagon, and three other people. The person that was over nuclear weapons, this nuclear security agency, replaced that person. Replaced the Secretary of Defense, when Barr went and said that they were going to investigate voter fraud, then the guy who was in charge of, I forgot exactly what he was in charge of, but he was one of the ones who was allied with Obama, who went after conservative groups along with Lois Lerner with the IRS and targeted all of them.
Richard Pilger.
Yes, that's the guy. Yeah. Right. I forgot exactly what his position is, but he resigned.
That's how I opened up the show talking about him. He is he's the head of the Justice Department, department office, that actually his role is to look into potential election crimes.
I didn't know. I knew it had something to do with that. And so he's the one who should be investigating this. And Barr says, go investigate it. And he says, no, I quit. I ain't doing that. That's very telling.
Exactly. That's how I opened up the show. I was like, you know, one of the most bizarre but fascinating sort of little stories in this is this guy whose job it is, he's the head of the department that's supposed to, in the Justice Department office, that looks into potential election crimes, and he resigned with some nonsense about, this is an outrage. There's like, I have to look into ballots here. There's sort of potentially fraudulent ballots. I resign. Sorry, what are we paying you for? Did we get the title wrong? remind me of your title again, you know?
Yep. Yeah, there's a swamp full of rats. And, you know, it seems like Trump is trying to put some people in who are not the swamp rats. He's putting some of his allies into these positions. And then, Pompeo came out when they asked him if there was going to be a smooth transition. He said, yes, there'll be a smooth transition to a second Trump term. That they were expecting a very smooth transition to the second term of Donald Trump. And that kind of shut the media up. And they went, it's not over yet.
I've enjoyed watching the news the last couple of days, because, as I say, these clowns, you know what it is? It's like it's outright narcissism. They're not living in reality. But you see, unfortunately for them, reality is an objective phenomena. It doesn't really care if you're living in it or not. It doesn't care how much you try and call the election for Donald Trump. The reality is that'll be decided at, you know, state level judiciary and maybe the Supreme Court. And this stuff needs to be looked into. And also, one of the most interesting things, the department or the administration process over there, which is, you know, its job is to, you know, to do the kind of the logistical aspects of moving one president into the White House and getting all that sort of stuff. They have denied that they are, you know, that they're moving in any direction, because they've said, well, the election's not decided yet. So, no, we're not doing that. So, in other words, Trump's still the president. And until all this stuff's investigated, he's still going to be the president. And, you know, so they just live, you know, I don't understand how they thought that, if we just say it enough and we get enough people in the media to say that Biden's the president, that somehow that's just going to override all the legal processes and the normal constitutional norms. I just don't understand that, apart from just narcissism, where they just live in just their own reality. You know, and I think that's why they couldn't get over Trump winning, because that was inconsistent with their own fucking false reality, really, you know?
I agree. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know.
Fools, mate. Fools.
Yes. I don't know if it's good. It's just the most, it's like everything from the past 20 years is coming right to a head right now. The next month, those 6 weeks will decide the future for many years to come. You know, it's, and the Trump's not a warmonger. That's one of the biggest pluses I think he's got. He hasn't gone out and looked for another war to send our troops to. You know, he kind of stood up to China, and NATO has been doing some stuff along the border with Russia that's not very good. But Trump tried to pull the troops back. He tried to pull them out of Syria and away from Kurdistan. Yeah. And then the neocons freaked. And, I did notice one interesting development over the past few days. They signed a ceasefire and an agreement between Armenia and Azerbaijan over Artsakh, the Nagorno-Karabakh region. And Russia has sent in loads of peacekeepers. But they're going to be on the border of the zone of the line of contact there. And then, you know, this is a little more than just a ceasefire, that they expect this to last. And Armenia is very unhappy about it, because they lost a lot of territory. And, you know, the Azeris are all triumphant. They won, but it stopped the fighting anyway. I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about the conflict to say, is that a good or not? But for the war to stop, that's a good thing.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, Jared Kushner, the total Zionist. You know, he's one of the little rats who is basically, you know, apparently calling, you know, suggesting that Trump resign because, you see, as you say, Trump hasn't been, you know, killing enough Syrians. He hasn't been invading enough Syrians. He hasn't been trying hard enough to remove Assad. So he's got to go. Right. You know, there's just not enough murdering going on out there for Israel's, you know.
Exactly.
You know, and, mm-hmm. and the other thing you're talking about, I mean, domestically and in the West as well, you know, this is all coming to a head. But I actually fear that it could go on further or not, because the Israelis are total mad dogs. And with Joe Biden at the wheel, the murdering and the slaughtering is going to continue. And I think they could escalate World War III because Putin has been a stabilizing force there. And I think Trump has had the sense to bring some sort of restraint there. And if Trump's out of the way, there won't be any restraint. Yeah. These guys don't care how many people die. As long as they're safe, they don't care if every Russian, every Syrian, every citizen in the Middle East and China and the West dies. As long as they're in the bunkers watching it, they don't care.
I agree. Yeah, that's exactly what these people are. And they have a plan to attack Russia. The RAND Corporation just published this white paper. I mean, within the past few months, I forgot how long, and I haven't read the whole thing, but I saw a couple of videos outlining, and they have plans to go after Russia all along their border, lots of destabilized country after country along the Russian border. They've been doing the same thing, I think, in Kyrgyzstan recently. And then,
well, the Russian border surrounded and has been surrounded by NATO, apparently, in quotes, peacekeeping forces for years now. If you actually look at a map around Russia and then look at the NATO presence around there, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's quite funny when they say, you know, Russia's a threat. You know,
right.
Russia's surrounded.
Exactly.
Russia's surrounded. It's the place that's surrounded, you know.
Just like Iran is such a threat because they put their country so close to our military bases. How dare they?
How dare Russia put their country so near to our NATO bases?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And you're right. I mean, Biden, he's the war whore.
He's a maniac, mate. You know, he's a maniac. Mm-hmm. They know, the Zionists know, if they can get Trump out of there, they can get the ball rolling in earnest over there and, you know, let's get back to doing some proper killing and removing, you know, other sovereign leaders here. This is getting, you know, we're having murder and slaughter and nation changing sort of withdrawals here. Let's get rid of this guy and get the big time going again.
Yep. I sure hope that doesn't happen, man. I mean, I think that the majority of people in the country and in the world do not want the war, you know, unless you directly profit from it. You know, maybe if you are angry because someone that you know was killed. I mean, I can see, you know, people, especially somebody's been killed by Israeli troops or vice versa, that they're going to have this rage in them. But most of the people want peace.
The problem is they come up into Europe and they take it out on us because they take it out and they see us as enemies because, you know, there were some maniacs there committed a slaughter in Austria last week. And one of the reasons one of the reasons they give for it, they says this is retaliation for Austria, I think, was for supporting Israel in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and that's one of their reasons. They attacked the British for that same reason. Then, and it's never any, you know, it's not going to be Boris Johnson that gets it. It's going to be some poor bastard in a church or somebody in a nightclub or something that's going to get his head cut off. This is retaliation for your support of Israel, you know?
Yep. And they, you know, y'all are a few years ahead of us in that regard too, with the immigration and the darkening of the country, basically.
Well, it's a geographical thing too. You see, it's a geographical thing because they invade these countries and then they displace them, and then they funnel them up into Europe. You know, and so it's a total wrecking ball, really. You know.
Yeah, I like the pleasure talking with you, Paul. I'm glad you didn't get cut off again. I'm gonna have to jump off and let you finish your show, but it's really
I'm finished.
Talking
to you you too, mate. I'm finished. I know because we've run over by 10 minutes, so I better go.
Okay.
If
you find out what happened, you know, if you get the forensics done on the internet thing, let us know what happened. All right.
I will do.
All right, brother. All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, I've run over by about 10 minutes just having a conversation with Stephen Whitener there. And, there's a lot of stuff we touched on there tonight. And I hope you enjoyed the show. It was a bit spontaneous. We've been cut off a few times there. Stephen joined us. I don't know why Richard's still with us, is he? Are you still there, Richard?
Yeah, I'm here. I asked Stephen to just fill in once we lost you, so we didn't miss a beat.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it was all a bit weird, really, losing the connection there, because it just, as I say, I continued to have my other, devices able to connect with the internet, and there was no kind of notification on my router that my internet had dropped. So it's just perplexing, really. I just don't really understand it. Really.
And this is happening with Skype, like you said earlier this week. And
no, it happened when I connected to you guys on RBN.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. It hasn't happened on Skype.
It did happen. Yeah, on Skype. That's what I mean. So on multiple communication platforms, it's happened.
Yes. Yeah,
by the way, if I didn't send you the link already, there's an app you can download if you don't already use it for this. It might work a little better than just opening the link in a browser. If you haven't already used the app, I'll send you the link to download it. It can do it for desktop and smartphone as well, actually.
Cool.
Yeah, but
the bizarre thing was it wasn't saying, you're not able to connect to what are we speaking on? What's it called? This platform.
I don't even go out of my way to mention it.
It wasn't saying I couldn't specifically connect to that. It was saying your internet's dropped. But then I was able to test it and see, okay, my TV doesn't, it operates through Wi-Fi as well. And it's just absolutely fine. And I looked over and there's a little orange light that would normally flash if on the odd occasion my internet would drop, which is very, very rare. And there was no indication. There's three green lights. My phone was still working on Wi-Fi. My TV was still working on Wi-Fi. So it's just very bizarre. It's one of those things where I can't prove it, but it's very, very suspicious.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, we'll just...
Just at the time when we were talking about it as well. I know.
Yeah, and Mark as well. Well, but yeah, I'll send you the link for that. And that could maybe help a little, to keep the connection solid on this. I don't know. Might make a difference, but okay.
Okay, Richard. And thank you for everyone for listening. And I'll be back again. I'll be back live with Richard here on Monday on Republic Broadcasting Network at 12 Central Time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. UK time here. So and also back here again on Revision Media next Thursday, same time. That's 2 Central Time, 8 p.m. UK time. Until then, take care and God bless.